So, we have a, every week, Wednesday afternoon, we have a service out at Fair Oaks. And last week and this week, because of my wife taking care of a couple little kids, I've been by myself. But it's interesting this afternoon, I just need to share this with you. Had a gentleman there for the first time. And he wanted a drink, and so one of the workers there brought him a glass with some liquid in it. And he said, "I don't want that, I want water." And she said, "I'm sorry, but your diet just says that's all you can have." And so he was quite upset, and I started passing out songbooks, and he says, "Would you give me a cup of water?" And I said, "Well, I'm sorry. I said, I'm not employed here. I can't do this out of my authority." And he says, "Well, can't you reverse the miracle of the wedding at Cana and turn this stuff into water?" So the man must know a little bit about the Lord and about the Bible, but then he had left before we finished the service, so I didn't get a chance to talk to him more. He wanted me to turn the whatever it was he had into water. 1 Samuel in chapter 12. As we come to this portion of Scripture tonight, Israel, as was quite normal for them, had rebelled against God. That happened quite often in their history. And it happened again here. And they rebelled and asked God to give them a king. They wanted to be like all the other nations. And they wanted a king to rule over them. And of course, they weren't rejecting the prophet at that time. They were rejecting God himself. And so they, verse 12 of chapter 12, "And when ye saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, ye said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king." And so they were rejecting God. They were rejecting his leadership in their life, and they wanted their own thing. How often have you heard little children say, "Mine"? Two first words that children learn: "No" and "mine." We found that out quite well. But this is kind of the way that Israel was at this time. You know, that king, that be mine. And they were rebelling against God. And so Samuel introduces the king that God allowed them to have. You know, isn't it interesting how often God allows us to have things we ask for, and after a while we regret we ask for it. But he just kind of lets us have our way once in a while to our misfortune. But look at verse 13. "Now therefore, behold the king whom ye have chosen, and whom ye have desired, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you." And we could have gone into a lot of details, you know, what God said it would happen if they asked for a king. And as Samuel is speaking to them, and he reproves them because of their choice, their desire to have a king, because of their rebellion. And Samuel sets out some conditions to have God's blessing even under a king. Look at verses 14 down through to verse 16. "If ye will fear the Lord and serve him, and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes." And so Samuel, under the direction of God, does reprove them And then starting with the 17th verse, we kind of see a conversation that takes place between Samuel and the people of Israel at that particular time. And in that exchange between the people and Samuel, we find some lessons concerning prayer. And that's what I want to look at tonight. Actually, I'm going to choose three lessons that we have given to us here. And first of all, in verse number 17 and 18, we see accomplishments through prayer. Accomplishments through prayer. Verses 17 and 18. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that you may receive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord. And now, it says it was in the time of harvest. And at that particular time in Israel, it very seldom ever rained. It was just a dry period at that particular time. It did not rain. This is approximately the end of June, the beginning of July, kind of the time we're in right now in our calendar. And St. Jerome, who spent many years in Israel, made this statement. I have never seen it rain in the end of June or in July in Judea. And so evidently, this was just a very dry period of time in Israel. It has had no rain whatsoever. And yet Samuel prayed with confidence that the Lord would answer his prayer. And notice what he prays in verse number 17. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call upon the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may receive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking for a king. He says, I'm going to ask God to just deal with you a little bit. I'm going to ask God to show you what you did was not right. You rebelled against God in asking for a king. And I'm going to ask that God would send rain in a time when it never rains in Judea. And so he prayed. And you know, isn't it great that we can come to the Lord with an assurance of his desire to answer? You know, Samuel comes with confidence that God would answer his prayer. And God would help them at that particular time. You know, Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, call unto me and I will answer thee. You know, we have several verses like that in the Bible. Just that promise from God that when we call upon him, he will answer us. Now, I'm thankful that God doesn't always answer as I ask. He's much wiser than I am. He knows better than I do what I need. And sometimes, as we mentioned earlier, he'll give you the desires of your heart and you'll regret it. But other times he will allow you to have the desires of your heart and it'll be a blessing to you. But he has given us that promise. Call upon me and I will answer you. And so we see the answer expected there in verse number 17. Samuel just simply expected God was going to answer the prayer. But then in verse 18 we see the accomplishment evidenced. Again, as we read verse 17, so Samuel called upon the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. How many of you have been praying over the last week for rain? We've had our share, but maybe you ought to start praying the Lord will stop the rain. Anyway, Samuel called on the Lord, and the Lord showed them great and mighty things. Going back to Jeremiah 33:3 again. Call upon me and I will show thee great and mighty things. You know, which thou knowest not. And so the Lord, when we call upon him, can do things way beyond what we can do. He can do great and mighty things. We had a great friend of ours, still is a great friend of ours, maybe some of you know Pastor Mark Shore. And we lived just a block from his parents out in Durango, Colorado. One Monday, right the day after Easter, they'd been busy, and so he took his family and was going to go from where they lived up to St. Paul in that area and just go to the zoo and so forth. And as they traveled, they had an auto accident. His entire family was wiped out. He was left alone. And they said he would never walk again. But there were people all around the world praying. And within 8 days, he walked out of the hospital. And that was on Thursday or Friday, I don't remember. And that Sunday night, he preached in our church out in Durango. You know, God can do great and mighty things that we know not. And the Lord, of course, gave Mark another family. But, you know, just another example of what God can do. I remember when growing up in our bedroom, my mother had hung a little plaque, "Prayer changes things." And how true that is. Prayer changes things. And God, through the power of prayer, can and will accomplish great things that you and I are powerless in accomplishing. And it did it for them. And it's through prayer that Elijah saw rain come. He also saw rain stopped in James in chapter 5 and verses 17 and 18. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. 6 months, no rain. He prayed again, and the Lord sent the rain. It's through prayer that the early church saw Peter set free in Acts chapter 12, and verses 5 down through verse number 10. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the... Oh, how hard did he have to hit Peter to wake him up? He seemed to be sleeping quite comfortably there. He smote him on the side and woke him up. And he said, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment unto thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from them. The church was praying continually, it says, and God performed a miracle. He loosed the chains, he opened the gates to the prison, and then he opened the final gate, and Peter was able to go out. And where did Peter go? He went to where the people were praying. But notice in verse 13 of Acts 12, "And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate." Now notice this next verse. And I wonder if it's kind of like you and I once in a while. "And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, It is his angel." Now, how many times have we prayed continually, even prayed earnestly, and when God sends the answer, we say, did God really do that? Or do we have kind of doubts that this early church had at that particular time? No, that can't be Peter. It must be his angel out there. And we kind of doubt as to what God has really done for us. And so, as we see here, the first lesson is accomplishments through prayer. God, through earnest prayer, can accomplish some great things. Secondly, awareness of the need of prayer. Look at verse 19. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. Pray for thy servants. They came to that point in their lives where they realized they needed prayer. They needed somebody to pray for them. And there's the old Negro spiritual, it's not my mother nor my father, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Let me ask you one of those stupid questions that I ask once more. How many of you here tonight have never been in the need of prayer? Don't see too many hands going on. We all are in need of prayer. And, though the old Negro spiritual says, not my mother nor my father, but of me. Mom and dad probably need prayer once in a while too, but we are all in need of prayer. Here the Israelites says, we have done wrong. We have sinned. Pray for us. Pray that the Lord will give us forgiveness. Pray that we can get back right with the Lord. Intercede on our behalf. But do we really recognize in our lives the need of prayer? Or is it too often that we think we can just do it on our own without God helping us? No, we are definitely in need of prayer. You know, it's not just for forgiveness. We all, at times, need forgiveness for sins. But in every little area of our life, just daily, not just the big things, not just when you're going to have a 15 bypass surgery on your heart, but, when you stubbed your toe, or, a decision you need to make. It might not be a major decision, just a minor decision. But we are in need of prayer. You know, and it makes no difference where we are, what we're doing, we have a need for prayer. And these people came to that point in their life where they realized the need of prayer. They come to an awareness of that need. Paul, I mentioned him before. Of course, Paul, he's a great man of God. He was greatly used of God. But he recognized his need of prayer. Often in his letters that he wrote to the churches and to young men and so forth, he asked them to pray for him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, brethren, pray for us. Romans chapter 15 verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you and with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. He says, pray that my ministry would be effective, that I'd be protected in the midst of my ministry. I need your prayer tonight. He asked him to pray that he would have boldness in the ministry. In Ephesians in chapter 6 and verses 18 and verse 19, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, I open my mouth boldly. I am not one who can just easily go up to somebody and start talking to them. And, pray that I can have boldness in my witness. And witness to my neighbors those I come in contact throughout the day. And pray for, he said, pray that I would have boldness. And Paul's awareness of the need of prayer was also seen in many times in his letters that he mentioned that he was praying for those he was writing to. An example of that is in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, and goes on. But he was praying for them. And often in the introductions, especially of his letters, he would remind the folk that he was writing to that he was praying for them, that the Lord would bless in their lives. And so we see from this conversation between Samuel and the people that there's accomplishment through prayer. And there's an awareness of the needed prayer. And then thirdly, we see actively praying in verse 23. You drop down to 23. And there's several things that take place as they continue to converse between the two of them. But here he comes down to the verse 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. But he says, for God forbid that I should cease praying for you. You know, Samuel was saying that prayerlessness is a sin. Notice what he said. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Prayerlessness is really displeasing to God. As I mentioned to the folk out at Fair Oaks this afternoon, God speaks to us through his word, but we speak to him through prayer. And you know, in order to have a good conversation, it has to come both sides. God is faithful in speaking to us through his word. We need to be faithful in speaking to him in prayer, coming before the Lord in prayer. Each believer, each one of us here tonight has the opportunity, the privilege, but also the responsibility of praying. In Luke and chapter 18 and verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Is that possible? Pray without ceasing? Are you on your knees 24 hours a day? No, you have to go to work. But you know, there ought to be that attitude of prayer, that you are prepared to come to the Lord at any time, in any place, to pray. Pray without ceasing. The responsibility to pray. I could take the time just to kind of go around and have each one of you mention something that you ought to be praying for. But, you know, definitely we ought to be praying for our family, our spouses, our children, parents, if you still have parents, brothers and sisters. So pray for the family. Pray for the church. It's mentioned in our prayer list to pray for the church and in the leadership of the church and so forth. Pray for the sorrowing. Just yesterday, there was a funeral up in Jefferson of a young mother that passed away from cancer at 55 years old. Her and pastor graduated from high school together. And, you know, that family's hurting tonight. And of course, Doris and I know them, so we've been praying for them. Pray for the sorrowing. And as we mentioned tonight, pray for those who have physical needs in their life. And that they pray for our nation. Our nation needs a great prayer tonight. And again, Paul saw the importance of continually praying. Several verses in Romans chapter 1, and verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. But they're pointing out the fact of continually praying without ceasing. Prayer is a ministry that every believer can have. It's an ongoing ministry, day after day. And so as we look at this passage, a passage not normally thought of as a lesson in prayer, but it helps us to see some practical, everyday lessons in prayer. Prayer does accomplish things. And we need to have that awareness of a need of prayer in our life. And then to actively pray. You know, we can talk about prayer. We can have lessons on praying. But it's just a matter of praying. And God is pleased when we are faithful in praying. Brother Dave, would you close us with some prayer?